It's time for Twig This Week in Google, right after the Big Apple announcement. But there's still lots of Google stuff to talk about, including an October 4th event we think is coming up, and why I'm not going to hand in my Galaxy Note 7. I don't want to give this up. It's all coming up next. Ron Richards and Stacey Higginbotham, and This Week in Google, next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by Cachefly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig This Week in Google, episode 369, recorded Wednesday, September 7th, 2016. Faster than the speed of regret. This Week in Google is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Go to ring.com/twig and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit with their limited time offer. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/twig. And by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service and the most sophisticated way to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit wealthfront.com/twig and sign up to get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's wealthfront.com/twig. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, a show where we cover the latest developments in the Googleverse and the universe, because we like to talk about everything. Jeff Jarvis has the week off. Ron Richards is joining us, host from All About Android, and a regular appearer on our network. In fact, Ron will be on the new Screensavers on Saturday. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
You're still in New York, though. You haven't left.
I am in New York City at the moment, yes.
Yet. All right. Also here from Austin, Texas, it's Stacey Higginbotham of the IoTpodcast.com fame, and Stacey on IoT. Hi, Stacey.
Hello.
Feels like you were just here. You were on Twit this Sunday, which was great. Thank you.
Oh, it was super fun.
Yeah. Love having you on Twit, because it's it introduces
you were going to call it the big show.
I was. You knew it. Oh, damn it. Oh, you caught me. Busted. I pity your husband. Man, I just said on, and then that was all you had to hear to know exactly where I was going. Anyway, we're glad to have you on the little Twig. And of course, right now nobody's talking about anything but Apple, and that'll be for the next few days anyway. Apple's big event was this morning. They announced a new iPhone 7, and I've thought for a while this might be an opportunity for Android devices, because the rumor was Apple was going to drop the headphone jack, and then indeed they did, in a move that Phil Schiller called courageous.
So, okay, I've got kind of a counterintuitive take here if we want to learn about the Internet of Things some more.
I would love to learn about that.
So I think it is courageous in the sense that they're making a bet on the future that's going to alienate a lot of people today. So I don't know. Is that courageous? It is just, it's a phone.
Making a bet, I mean, if you really think there's that's what I'd like to hear. Is there a coherent reason to drop something that works so darn well?
Here is my thought. Imagine that you want to control HomeKit. You have to talk into the Apple TV remote, or you have to talk into your phone. You have to say, hey, Siri, la, 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 la. Imagine now you have something just on your ear, and then it has paired with all of your devices from the iCloud. Once you get contextual clues, and you can see Apple building this, you could basically walk from your, you know, phone, wherever your phone is, into a different area and start talking to that device in your home. In a sense, they've kind of won up the Amazon Echo, which is room dependent. This is you dependent. Now, that's a little crazy.
But wait a minute. Why does taking the headphone jack enable that? Enable that? I don't understand.
Because you don't have wires in your phone on you. I can walk around with some stupid, like, I don't know. I used to have, way back in the day, like a Plantronics earbud thing that I would disconnect from my...
Were you one of those dorks that would walk around with your...
Yes. Yes, I was. I was a journalist. You know, you're just like
you have to stay on the phone. You're living on the phone.
Yeah. And this
you're
was,
like you Ari know, Gold on Entourage. You just you never exactly. take it out. You just always. Yeah.
So if you imagine that, or just picture the movie Her. You didn't see him like taking out his headphones as he moved from locale to locale. He just. I don't even know what he had.
That's a good point, because what he had was somewhat like the AirPods that Apple announced, which was a device that was an earbud, but also had his didn't have a little microphone, but Apple has a little tube that's a microphone and some apparently sophisticated technology in the AirPod to beam form so that it knows what the ambient noise is. It can aim, you know, it can in some way be better. That's kind of, isn't that what the Alexa does with its Array microphone? Is it's able
far-field
to pick
mics.
Far-field mics. It's able to pick you up at a distance and figure out what you're saying, even if there's background noise. So maybe in that sense, you're right. The AirPods would help with that.
So, yeah. So that's my take. And it's courageous only in the sense that people are going to be like, these are A, really expensive, B, easily lost,
right.
C, I have to charge them, all the stuff people are already complaining about.
So their move is really not – I mean, in other words, the wired headphones they're including in the box with a lightning port and the adapter that they're including in the box is really just an interim stopgap towards moving towards the wireless future that we all – Well,
exactly.
That actually, you know what? That does kind of make sense. I hate to admit it.
Yeah, and I agree that was the thing that jumped out at me was that the pairing of the earbuds to the phone was so seamless and
supposedly on the
supposedly
AirPods.
Right. Yeah, and now I think about my experience with my many Android phones and my many Bluetooth speakers and other things like that, where pairing is a nightmare. You know, so is it courageous that they're taking this risk, you know, to charge you $160 for something you're going to lose in about a week? I don't know about that. But the commitment to a wireless device, wireless earbud, and working on the protocols behind that to do that could open the door for so much more. And so I agree with you, Stacey. That was the one thing that caught my eye in the very long presentation.
If you want courage, get rid of the lightning adapter, which is non-standard and proprietary and very expensive to license. If they'll even let you manufacture something at all with it, there's some fairly hefty requirements, and go to the Type C connector that everybody else except Apple is going to. It has all of the benefits of Lightning. It's reversible, it's high speed, it supports data. In fact, in many respects, I think it's probably superior to the Lightning connector. Chiefly because it's universal. And so eventually we'll all have Type C connectors and Type C cables. That would be courage.
I agree. I loathe how Apple both changes its interface every 2 years and is constantly different.
Well, and they'll never go to Type C now. I mean, they're going all in on Lightning, right? This is Apple saying, okay, good, we're doubling down on Lightning. This is going to be around for years. So I am, you know. I understand what you're saying, to the degree that what Apple's doing is saying the future is wireless, I wouldn't disagree with you.
Yeah. Wireless and seamless. So moving from compute, if you imagine computing isn't everything, you have to figure out a way, and Apple's maybe, and I need a lot more information to like really say this is it for true, but the integration with iCloud and having the intelligence in the earbuds to recognize things and switch you between places is a way to deliver that wireless future across computing everywhere.
Do you anticipate a future where we're all walking around like you used to with that little earbud in?
I think some people will. I mean, I think it will be situational. So in your home where
you just talk to your stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're out and about in the street or in your car, maybe it makes more sense to have a little earbud in.
I do. I mean, look, that's what we love about the Echo is that it's ambient.
And right now, HomeKit is not.
Right.
And that's a big challenge for them. So I don't know.
Yeah.
The scenario you kind of lay out there reminds me of, I remember back in, I want to say the mid-2000s, I went up to Redmond and saw Microsoft presented this whole, they had built this whole home on their campus. And the whole idea was that you just have a pin or something on your lapel and it follows you from room to room. And if you're watching TV, the video will go from monitor to monitor or that sort of thing. And the idea of providing the context based on your location and your device, serving you the services that you want based on wherever you are. And so, you know, plugging that into the earbud could be a way to do that. That's really interesting. But I like the idea of this, you know, frictionless, it follows you. Which is almost what, you know, the phones are doing at this point. You know, you've got phones that are listening, you know, Google Now is listening, you know, to how you're interacting with the phone and using that to cater the responses when you use the assistant. Maybe, you know, it could be a step in that direction.
1967, James Coburn, the president's analyst. Watch. Oh, we can't hear, though.
Looking at a miracle in modern communications, would you?
Well, sir, let's take a closer look. Thanks to the science of microelectronics, you are looking at a complete telephonic receiver and transmitter.
We call it the cerebrum communicator, or the CC for short.
This dandy little device can actually perform every function of the old-fashioned telephone and more.
And it does it without any costly maintenance. Without telephone poles, without wires, without exchanges, without anything, in fact, except another CC in another location. And now you're probably wondering, why have we made it so small?
Because it will
it's
be
the smallest
in
communicator
and powered by
we've ever made.
Your own brain.
Now,
fantastic. Well, not quite. No, we merely inject the CC into that part of the bloodstream which leads directly to the brain.
Technically speaking, for you doctors, we inject the CC into the internal carotid artery.
The bloodstream carries it directly to the cerebrum where it lodges.
Okay, maybe we haven't gotten to that point yet.
God, I hope not.
That's not courageous. Actually, that's Coburn.
They're researching ways to embed electronics in biosafe materials for those exact type of purposes.
That's exactly what I want. I want to be jacked in, man.
My sister is first in line for when Disney is able to take that Magic Band technology and make it into an injectable. Mm-hmm. So you just walk around the park and it does whatever you want. She has openly said that she would take that surgery. So,
what about you, Ron?
I don't know.
You gonna let your sister scoop you?
I don't go to Disney that much.
Apple, I think as skeptical as I was about whatever they did with the iPhone 7, I think that they showed enough good stuff, including a camera that looks pretty impressive, to show that they still have a shot in a world where Android is lapping them. Every few months, there's a new Android phone with new features. In fact, many have pointed out the LG G5 had dual cameras and many of the features that Apple is now touting in the iPhone 7. Did you use
the
G5, Ron?
I've played with the G5. I haven't used it. I reviewed it briefly,
and I was underwhelmed, actually, by the photography, the camera. I didn't the laser focusing and all that. This didn't wow me. I still prefer a S7 or the Note 7 to the G5. But I will get the iPhone 7 just to see what the camera.
That's assuming your Note 7 doesn't explode in your
okay,
hand.
Okay, now I'm going to talk about that. Let's take a break, because I did not turn mine in, and I'll tell you why I didn't in just a second. But first, a word from Ring, the video doorbell that's changing the world. I see Rings all over Petaluma now, and it's not a surprise. I might have been the first to get one, though. We put our Ring in months ago, and I love it because I can see at any time when somebody's coming or going at my house. And when I'm expecting, by the way, an important package, I may interrupt this show to speak to the delivery guy because I'm not home. And they said, oh, you're going to need a sign for it, and I really want it. So I'm going to try to talk to the delivery guy. He'll ring the doorbell, and I'll go, yeah, I'm not going to tell him I'm at work. I'm going to say, I'm in the bathtub. Can you just leave it there and I'll sign for it later? We'll see if that'll work. The Ring doorbell has a high-def camera. It has a speaker. It has a microphone. And it replaces your existing wired doorbell. If you don't have a wired doorbell, it'll still work. It has a year-long lithium-ion battery in there that you can recharge. It comes with all the tools you need, including a level to install it just right in a variety of finishes to match your home. It rings your ding-donger in the hall, just like always, but it also rings your phone or your tablet anywhere in the world over the internet because it signs up to your Wi-Fi. I love the Ring video doorbell because even if somebody's just walking up my stoop or walking by, the motion detector inside will let me know. Now, if you don't hear the ding-donger in the hall, don't worry, you can get the Ring Chime, plugs into any outlet, also joins the Wi-Fi, and that'll ring in your workshop or, you know, the basement or the attic, wherever you can't hear the doorbell. That's a nice feature. They have actually a variety of new things. The stick-up cam, which is a Ring video doorbell without the doorbell part. So a camera plus speaker and microphone that lets you monitor other parts of your home, the backyard, the side yard. And it's wireless because it also comes with a fantastic solar panel that'll keep it charged day in, day out. What a great idea. And then they've just added this, and I've ordered this for my house. If you use the Ring systems, they have now a Ring sign. You know how you have a security sign you put? These are very effective, by the way. In fact, frankly, this is the biggest deterrent of all. And this is solar, so it lights up even at night. The bad guys can see that you are protected by the Ring of Security. Take a look at the security bundles they offer at ring.com/twig. Up to $150 off a Ring of Security bundle, depending on what you need in there, at ring.com/twig. I'm a big fan of the Ring video doorbell. I love our Ring video doorbell. I know you will, too. ring.com/twig. It was really handy when my daughter was living with us, because I could say, how come you came home so late last night? That made her crazy. Wait, Stacey. You'll be using that in a couple of years. I believe it. You'll be needing that. You'll be needing that. Recall. I almost feel for Samsung because they rushed the Note 7 out, hoping to scoop Apple, right? Get this out the door. Get people talking about the Note 7 before the iPhone 7 steals all the thunder. But one little problem. Apple second sourced their batteries. They used to use a Chinese company. They're still using that, but they're also making their own batteries in Samsung's own factories. And apparently, this is really embarrassing. It's the Samsung batteries that are overheating and exploding. I think I mentioned this last week, and maybe not, because I got it on, I think on Friday, the email from T-Mobile where I got my phone saying you can turn it in and either wait for a new Note 7. We'll have it in a week or two. Or you can get a refund. And I thought, well, I've already reviewed it. I'm going to get a refund. But then I thought, but I kind of like it. And then I read something. Now, tell me if I'm nuts. And I'm not recommending this. But the Wall Street Journal and others reported that because the phones made in China couldn't use the Korean Samsung batteries, those were not being recalled. Because all the Chinese batteries were okay. It was the Samsung batteries that were causing problems. Interestingly, T-Mobile, of all the U.S. carriers, is the only one that was offering phones made in China. Everybody else was getting the phones made in Korea or elsewhere. So this article, I don't know how reliable it is, said check the back of your phone. If it says made in China, which this does, you don't have to worry. You have the Chinese battery in it. And I have to say, I've never felt it to overheat. I've quick charged it many times. Never seen a problem. It doesn't get too hot. It gets warm, but it doesn't get too hot. And most of the time, I'm wirelessly charging it at a slower pace anyway. I thought I'd take a chance. Crazy?
Oh, you crazy, crazy man.
Crazy? Is it?
I don't know. Do you talk with it in your pocket or up to your ear? Which do you want to explode?
No, it only explodes when you're charging it.
Oh, well
yeah.
Then...
Yeah, it doesn't just randomly blow up. It's from overcharging.
Okay. Well,
it's
then,
like the hoverboards. And I still, by the way, have an exploding hoverboard at home. And the only rule we have is you have to be home when you charge it. So if it explodes, it'll hit you.
Are you just waiting for it to explode?
Yeah. No, I feel like now, by the way, I'm not advocating this, but I feel like that was enough evidence. I couldn't understand why they weren't recalling it in China. And that seemed like a credible story to me. And this is made in China.
If it does overheat, can you return it then for a reason?
Yeah, I'm sure I could.
Oh, so it's a win-win.
Yeah, well, as long as it doesn't blow up and melt my face or burn the house down, it's a win-win.
Or cause $2,000 worth of damage to a hotel room, like that one poor sap who in Australia, not poor sap, poor guy, but yeah, he plugged it into his hotel and it blew up. Yeah.
Oh. See, this is why I didn't want to do it, because I want to have the phone with me when I go on vacation in a week from Sunday. And I didn't think I'd have a new phone replacement by then. But now I know I'm going to be able to get an iPhone 7. So maybe, I don't know, I really like the Note 7.
It's really a bummer because I don't think I have seen a launch of a phone with so much goodwill behind it than this Note 7 launch.
Lots of positive reviews.
I mean, every Samsung launch has been strong to date. You know, you've seen a lot of great stuff with the Galaxy line and things like that. But this Note 7, it just seems universally praised. And now this is just like it's a snapback to just completely rejected and like, oh, it's, you know, like, careful, it's going to blow up. Because once you hear that some phones are being recalled and blown up, that just damages the entire line.
Right.
And it's hard to recover from that. Not, you know, clearly, Samsung stock has taken a hit and they're going to see declined sales.
$1.5 billion charge against earnings on this. It's going to cost them a lot of money. They'd sold, well, now somebody's saying 2.5 million of them. Only 35 explosions.
Jeez.
I mean, those are good odds.
It's funny because explosions.
And the thing is that I mentioned this last night on All About Android, and then I saw it earlier today. But the FAA is cracking down on lithium ion. You can't carry lithium ion batteries in checked luggage.
Right.
And now they're looking at this phone, and they might ban this phone completely.
Oh, that would be bad if I couldn't get on the plane with it.
Yeah.
What if I promise not to charge it? I'll turn it off and just leave it sitting. It's not going to explode. That's the thing, and I think that some of this is over. Blown. I mean, it's not going to explode just sitting in your pocket.
It's not a ticking time bomb.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. Somebody in the chat room says, I have my Note 7 came from Sprint. It also says made in China. And I use fast charging. It never gets hot. Look on the back. That's the one. That's where you want to look. It'll say in the fine print, it'll say whether it was made in Singapore, made in China, made in Korea. Samsung's not telling us this. And in fact, the Consumer Reports said Samsung should do an official recall. They are not doing that through the CPSC, the Consumer Product Safety Commission. If you do an official recall, it becomes illegal to sell these. And the speculation is Samsung doesn't want to do that because there are people still selling Note 7s. In fact, Samsung, one of the options that T-Mobile gives me is hang on to the phone till we have a replacement. Then you can bring it in. Doesn't sound like they're really concerned.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's such a the percentage. It's interesting because we were talking about this last night, All About Android, and we were wondering how much of this, because Jason Hal brought up the question, did Samsung know about this?
Right.
Is that why we have this recall program in place so quickly?
Right.
And my argument was that they have a, you know, an emergency break glass plan for when something like this goes wrong with another I'm assuming this, that, you know, God forbid something goes wrong that they don't know about. This is what we need to do in order to stay on the side of consumer safety and pro consumer values and all that sort of thing. But I wonder if they have any way of estimating, you know, yes, we've only heard that it's only been 35, but is there some percentage of the ones that have been sold? Like, is there some, what is their risk assessment of what this risk is? And that could be driving how dramatically they're pushing for the exchange or not.
Right. And I think Consumer Reports isn't far off when they say Samsung should be more forthcoming about this and more aggressive.
Yeah. But and the thing is that now if someone's walking up to a store to go buy a Note 7, if they've heard about this, $5 says they're walking away. They're reconsidering that purchase.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, of course, the whole point of rushing this out, and I think they did rush it a little bit, was to get it into the market before Apple got theirs into the market. And now that Apple's is coming to the market soon, by the way, sooner than normal. It's coming out a week from Friday, pre-order Friday.
Which I'm very happy to see. I've been long time railing that I can't stand the, and this here's the presentation and this is going to be available in a month or in whatever. Like, I want to see day of, like, you can buy it now. Like, I'm waiting until we get to that point. And it seems like we're getting closer and closer. And I understand why, because of supply chain and all those sort of things. But, like, this also seemed to be one of the leakiest, not to go back to Apple, but one of the leakiest launches in that, you know, their stuff was up on Amazon an hour before the presentation. You know, so it looks like they're trying to move closer to that simultaneous release, opportunity. So.
Although, given those leaks, maybe they'll rethink that strategy.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, and by the way, they made an allusion to the leaks. It's funny. James Corden, they did a phony carpool karaoke at the very beginning video. And one of the first things James Corden says to Tim Cook is, well, I kind of know all about it because I read all the rumors. So even Apple can laugh at itself in that respect, I guess. Anyway, there are going to be other choices. In fact, according to the rumor mill, once again, the new Google phones are coming. And those,
oh, I was hoping we'd talk about that.
Yeah, October 4th. Are you excited, Stacey? You use a 5X or 6P?
I'd use a 5X because the 6P is too big.
Right.
And I would love to get a new phone that's not... this feels... It's a perfectly good phone, but it feels a little chintzy, like many of Google's hardware efforts.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if the... Is it the Pixels?
Yeah, they're called the Pixels. They're gonna. Yeah, the rumor is that they're dropping the Nexus brand, and they're going to be the Pixel and the Pixel XL. Which, when you say Pixel XL,
Pixel XL.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Sounds like a Mayan king. Pixel Codal.
here we go.
Yeah, I want to see these. Okay. This is the problem I have. On the one hand, I think it's fair to say if you're going to buy an Android phone, the safest phone to buy is one from Google. A, it's going to continue to get updates longer than any other phone, and B, Google's going to push out those monthly security updates, so it'll be the safest phone with the best future ahead of it. And yet, hardware-wise, these phones never seem to be quite as good as other companies' phones. I mean, I would love to put, you know, vanilla Nougat on my Note 7, get all the Note hardware, but the purity of the Google experience. Do you think, Ron, that the Pixel phones will be finally true flagship phones, or just a notch below?
They're always just a notch below, and I'm not quite sure why. I mean, like, some of the rumors going into this were that Google was going to embrace their own manufacturing chain, you know, similar to how they did with the Pixel C. But these, the at least the rumors for these phones, that's not going to be the case, and they're actually going to be HTC, kind of based off of the HTC One A9 line of phones. That's similar kind of, you know, aluminum metal kind of casing, just with the two different sizes. So if you believe that, then, you know, my guess, and based off what HTC has been doing, they will still not be as good as the Samsung, you know, Note 7 from a camera standpoint or just from a total phone standpoint. But for whatever reason, Google feels that these are the best foot forward. I agree with you. The Nexus phones have been, in my opinion, you know, the Nexus 5, I used that phone for a year and a half, I think.
That was a great phone. But the camera was secondary. Phone.
Yes.
Battery life was secondary. And I just want to see them be as good as...
Yeah,
I think, and I'm not sure what the Venn diagram is on this, but I know that when I was buying my phone, I looked at all the reviews, and man, reviewers were killing the 5X because it had like a plasticky exterior and blah, blah. And I was kind of like, you know what? I'm okay with that. And, you know, I don't know how many normal people really like spend a lot of time worrying about like megapixels on your cameras and having things be the optimal thing. But I also don't know of those normal people how many actually care about having base Android. So that's my curiosity.
Yeah, and Stacey, I think you're right. I think we overestimate the audience for the Nexus line, also because it's just a challenge to get. I mean, you know, it's you got to go to Google's website to buy it. You know, they've had a couple of in-store opportunities, but they haven't really embraced getting it to the carriers.
The carriers have never pushed these phones. Right. Carriers would much rather you bought something else.
I didn't have a hard time getting mine hooked up with Verizon at all.
No.
But
once you get it, it's just you have to go to Google to get it. That's a different process than most people are used to. I also think some people really embrace the additional features that other companies put on. I mean, there's a reason why Samsung has all these weird, quirky TouchWiz type features. Their cameras have a lot more going on than the Google vanilla cameras. You know, they have a lot of interesting, you know, features with the touch, the edge, and so forth. I think those prize those.
I don't know if they prize them, Leo. I think that's Samsung trying to differentiate themselves and show independence in the marketplace. But I'm not sure if they are the kind of thing where people are like, oh, I get Samsung because I love TouchWiz. In fact, you know, the majority of people I talk to either don't even know that there's a difference. It just looks different than my phone.
Right.
Or the people who do know what they're talking about don't like TouchWiz.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's really just an identity thing and a branding thing to say that, hey, we're doing something different.
But Stacey, I know the reason you're excited about this announcement is not the phones per se, but everything else that Google be talking about. Although you have to think, just as you mentioned in a way that some of what Apple's long-term strategy with the iPhone has to do with HomeKit, that Google's strategy with these Pixel phones should somehow integrate with Google Home and other things, right?
Oh, and I have an update for you.
Yes.
Okay, so this ties into Google Home, which is why I'm bringing it up now. Last week on This Week in Google, we talked about Nest and the software developers moving over right. to Google from Nest. So I talked to Nest this week, and one of the things they told me was that story was a little exaggerated. What's happening is the works with Nest engineers, some of those software folks are moving over to Google to help create a more integrated experience around works with Nest. And presumably, they didn't go this far, Google Home. So if you look at, actually, we shouldn't even say Google Home. We should probably say Google products, because if you look at the OnHub router that just got Philips Lite support,
yeah,
I think what you're going to see is Google bringing all of its smart home stuff into the OnHub, this home device that we're going to learn more about on October 4th. Maybe we'll even get some cool stuff with Chromecast. I have no idea. So that's kind of what that Nest news was about. So okay. That's that.
Okay. A realignment, not a reorganization.
Yes, because they've still got lovely software people. I'm not going to give it that much. It's just not everybody's going over, yeah. Which was kind of what people were thinking.
But they wanted a group of smart people coming over to work on this overall strategy.
Yeah, and it could be that Google is saying, you know, guys,
hand in hand.
Y'all are not making it here. Right. Let's bring more stuff in house.
Well, or it would make sense that we want everything to work together.
Yeah,
and so we want the Nest stuff to work with whatever Google stuff is going on too.
Well, that was the original hope when they acquired Nest, was that because at the time, if you remember when they acquired Nest, Google was dangling the idea of Google Home, and I remember seeing some animations of you drive up to the house and the lights turn on and all this sort of stuff, and we all thought, oh, Nest will integrate brilliantly with that, and then there was just no integration.
Yeah.
So hopefully that this is the step in that direction, because honestly, I think that's the power. I mean, like the Google Home device that hopefully we're going to see more on October 4th of the little air freshener that they showed at Google I/O. I can't wait for it, because if you ask me, that's the Alexa killer. That's the that's going to be their opportunity to really kind of finally dive into the home and provide a product that people can't live without, similar to how people can't live without the Echo.
Will it work better with the Pixel? Will this stuff?
I think if you're using Google Now and the Google Now Assistant and you're fully baked in to the Google ecosystem, this is just going to supercharge that.
So they're going to pull an Apple. I mean, essentially what Apple's done, even especially now with the headphones, is say, look, all Apple. Just you have to use everything has to be Apple. If you want it to work, you got to be using Apple gear. And Google hasn't done this. I mean, but could do this, right?
It could. They haven't. I think they'll still keep Google Calendar. I mean, because you can work with Google on the Echo right now. Right. I get my calendar on
right.
that. I think they're going to keep a lot of that open and keep their apps, basically, I guess is what it would be, with iOS and with Amazon's ecosystem. So maybe they'll go
all in.
But
that's the Microsoft strategy, which is, reach out to other platforms and make ourselves available to it. But Microsoft's always been clear, the best experience will be if you're in an all-Microsoft world. That's
sure.
what Google's saying is, we'll make Calendar available. It would be better if you were to use Google-branded devices.
And I think, again, when I see it, I'm going to feel very torn on Home versus
right.
the Echo.
No, you have to give up one or the other.
Well, I've always thought that it basically comes down to whose services you use the most. I am an Amazon Prime member, but I don't dive into the Amazon offering. So I haven't pulled the trigger on an Echo. I haven't pulled the trigger on a Fire TV.
You're missing out.
Well, I know, I've heard, but the promise of of the Google Air Freshener to bring me that Echo experience, but times 10 with all of my calendaring and all my mail and all my everything that I already do within Google, to me, like that's what I feel like I'd be frustrated with the Echo, and that it stops at shopping.
Well, it's the same thing with Apple TV. Like if you do iTunes, you need an Apple TV, but on the other hand, if you do Amazon, you want a Roku or some other similar device, or an Android TV device, or you just get both. And I think a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people will have an Echo and a Sonos and a Google Home.
And then you just leave the house and let them fight it out.
Well, they have different trigger words, so you just you'll use. You're not going to do that, Stacey? You're going to pick one?
I think you're overestimating, the budget of the mainstream American consumer.
That's true. Only a major gadget hound would go.
Like, yes, people like us will probably have a lot of those things. Yeah. But most people are going to choose. And, you know, maybe they'll choose poorly. And I would say, Ron, I can't believe you don't have an Echo. I mean,
God, Ron, what's wrong with you?
I know. I can't tell you how I've spent minutes hovering over that buy button, just like, and for whatever reason,
it's cheaper now, though, right? It's getting cheaper and cheaper. You were smart to wait.
Yeah,
it's refurbished.
The little puck is out.
Those are the get a refurbished. Who cares if it's refurbished?
Yeah.
Now what? $179.99.
And then the refurbished one is usually $30 less. I think.
Get a refurb. It's not too bad.
I should just play with it, just to at least compare the two. Yeah. I mean, I've seen it. You know, I've played with it. We, you know, like I have friends who have it, and I get it. But to me, as soon as they announced that at Google I.O., I keep calling it the air freshener, but as soon as they announced the air freshener, I was just like, all right, I'm going to wait on the Echo until.
Well, that's true. That actually isn't a bad idea.
Okay, yeah, because I've had mine since.
Yeah, we got it before the air freshener.
Yeah, way before the air freshener.
Yeah.
And I'm all in on Google, so I'm.
Yeah.
Well, you say that it's more than just shopping, and I get that. It's got access to music and all, and is it just the user experience that is so delightful about it? Like, what, Stacey? What is it that has you thinking I should get one?
So I use it to control my home. So if I talk to the Echo right now, like when I go to bed, I'm like, Echo, turn off downstairs, turn off the Afro Circus, which is a light that my daughter named.
Wait a minute, your light's called the Afro Circus?
Do you remember Madagascar?
The movies? Yeah.
Yes.
So the Afro Circus song. So my daughter named my Wemo switch Afro Circus.
That's hysterical. I love your daughter. Yes. She is so great. She's so cool.
Strange.
I mean, and she is so strange.
You talk to it all the time. You can have it program your commutes. I mean, I don't know. We play bingo with it.
Kids are great. You play bingo?
Yeah, there's a bingo. There's a bingo skill. So, if you ever want to have bingo night at our house,
it goes R53. Wow. Of all the things that will be announced probably on this October 4th thing, I'm most excited about Aloe of all things. I want to use Aloe everywhere. I feel like that is the embodiment of Home or Echo in my phone, where it really should be. So I have it with me at all times.
I'm getting worried about Aloe, though.
Why?
Because Duo came out and it was really simple.
Duo's not bad. Duo gets
Duo's
the job
not bad,
done.
But it was just really just did that one thing, and you couldn't even if someone called you and you didn't miss the call, there was no messaging.
True. Yeah.
So and then Aloe, the reports that it's going to need an Android 7.0 update to 7.01 to support APIs to drive Aloe has got me worried. And the fact that we haven't seen anything, and they were supposed to launch around the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited for Aloe 2 because I want the combination of a cross-platform, unified messaging platform that I can use with my iPhone friends. But also having the Google Assistant baked into it looks super cool. But the silence has got me concerned.
Is this stuff harder to do than we – I mean, arguably, Google has the lead in this kind of virtual assistant world.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we're seeing – go ahead.
No, after you, Stacey. Go.
I was going to say, Google's betting its whole future on machine learning, right?
Yep.
So what you're seeing is the Google Assistant stuff. If you look at what Apple's launched, it's betting on easy-to-use hardware and integration. Yes, they have a machine learning component, but it's not anywhere near Google's. And so it's kind of these two versions of the future battling out. And I think they're pre-announcing things or putting things out before they're fully ready because they're trying to drive towards these respective visions. And maybe that's just what we're seeing here.
Okay.
Well, and if anything, I always use my baseball analogy, but we're in the first inning, maybe the second inning. And you go back to the HER analogy of, the little earbud and the operating system that is aware. I think if anybody has the opportunity to make that concept a reality, it's Google, because they have how many years of all this machine learning data that it put together and how people search and, do all these things. I realized a little while ago that at some point, I don't know when, I stopped searching via Boolean keyword-based searches on Google and moved back to the old Ask Jeeves, where I just ask Google questions now. And I don't know when that happened, but that behavior is being rewarded with really great search results. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's good. Google has the edge there, absolutely.
Also very good news for people who love the Nexus 7, and there are not a few of them. There will apparently be announced at this event, at least according to 9to5 Google, a 7-inch tablet built by Huawei, who built, by the way, the 6P and does a very nice job, with 4 gigs of RAM. Pixel C, I think we can safely write off as an aberration. I think it's over. But I would love to see a 7-inch. The Nexus 7s are so great and so affordable. It'd be very interesting to see what this...
Although a 7 has me confused because a 7 isn't that much bigger than the 6P or what will
it's
be the Pixel XL.
It's a little bigger than a phone, but you know, you don't want a 7-inch phone.
No, but would you rather have an 8-inch tablet?
But I mean, some people would. Yeah. And there are plenty, God knows, there's plenty of tablets in a variety of sizes, Android tablets. Samsung's making some pretty good tablets. But what's missing is that 7-inch, I think.
Well, I also wonder how viable the tablet market is these days.
Yeah, maybe not. New watches, although I have to say we saw this. I'm a little torn because the Tizen-based Samsung Gear 3 that we saw at IFA at IFA was very impressive, looked very good. Of course, it'll require a Samsung phone, I'm sure. Google will do this time, according to, again, 9to5 Google, some Android Wear watches that are branded by Google, which would be interesting to see. I feel like I'm waiting for Android Wear to make a breakthrough, just as I was waiting and still am, frankly, I think, for the Apple watch to make a breakthrough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, aside from just having new watches that are thinner or do, you know, have more buttons or don't have buttons or whatnot, I don't really know where the Android Wear platform can go from here. I mean, we're due for a, you know, like what can the latest version of Android bring to Android Wear, which we really haven't heard yet. But I just feel like the wearable market is still a market that's a solution, still looking for a problem.
Yeah. 4K
watches are.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think watches are. They're just, I don't know, they're not something I feel like a lot of people, I don't think people really want full-on computing on their wrist. I don't know.
Well, you actually are very mainstream on that. The latest from IDC... And because, of course, IDC is guessing somewhat. They don't know. Apple doesn't release watch sales, and so we don't know exactly what those sales are. But according to IDC, Apple Watch is losing ground as basics boom. And you're wearing a Fitbit. You're wearing one of the more basic.
I'm wearing
Microsoft?
An Under Armour.
Oh, okay.
But I did just get, ta-da. I'll see if I can show it to you. Nope. Come out. I'm charging it. This is a Philips smartwatch that is supposed to be a dedicated true health wearable. So I'm going to play with this and see how that works.
Well, those seem to be doing better. In fact, the simpler ones do better because I think people realize there's only a couple of things a health watch, health band can do, footsteps and heartbeat. The Fitbit showed growth of 28% year over year and a 25% market share compared to the number three product, Apple's watch, which only has a 20% market share and fell 56.7% year over year in sales. That's, again, a guess from IDC. And those are global sales and global market share. But I think that sounds about right. It does seem to me that people have chosen the simpler, more, you know, less expensive Fitbits over the expensive and more complicated Apple watches. And by the way, Android is not... It's not anywhere. It's not anywhere on this list.
That's because they're anything but basic, and I think that's the real issue is that people, you know, got the opportunity to sample what a smartwatch can do and realize that in a postage stamp size watch, navigating things into, you know, is really a pain in the butt. So go with something that just, you know, tracks your pedometer and tracks your heart rate and that does one thing and it works with a companion app or a website, and that's great. You know, so I'm not surprised by this at all.
4K Chromecast. I would like to see that. Everything should go 4K now that I have a 4K TV. I'm just saying.
How does that work on a... Because I know my Chromecast, like, if you open the door wrong in my house, my Chromecast stops, you know, broadcasting. So there's
really,
it feels wow. My Chromecast is very tenuous, and I have really great Wi-Fi in
yeah,
my
you
house.
You have an so Eero, right? You have the Eero.
I have yeah. several Eeros.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not, and my TV is actually hardwired. So
I wonder if your Chromecast is funky. I don't have that problem with my Chromecast.
Is that an official
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, funky. Well,
funky Chromecast. So maybe I'll try the 4K, but I'm kind of like, God, you want to shove more data at that thing? I don't know if it can handle it.
Well, yeah, you'd have to redesign it. It'd have to have a faster chip and so forth. And yeah, I guess the broadband would have to work because you're going to need a lot of throughput to make 4K work.
That is true.
Yeah. And finally, remember Google announced the its VR initiative. What was that? Daydream,
correct.
They apparently maybe will announce a Daydream headset. Not that anybody's clamoring for one. This is going to be a big event. We'll do live coverage, I'm sure, if they send out invites and we get a confirmation. But this is all rumor from 9 to 5 Mac, which is a pretty good track record in this regard.
And they've also historically shied away from doing events other than Google I/O, haven't they? Like, didn't one year they just dropped it all on their blog? Like, you know,
did they launch that? Remember that weird octopus looking thing? What was that? That was like a TV thing.
What?
Didn't they launch that in its own event?
The Q.
That was at I/O. That was at I/O.
Yeah, that was I/O. Because I still have my Nexus
right.
Q that I got
right.
at I/O. Yeah. I'm banking on that being worth a pretty penny in about 20 years. So.
I think I went to a dedicated thing for the Nexus, the original Nexus phone. I'm trying to remember now.
I'm trying to remember too. That's right. They don't normally do that, do they?
They haven't done big dog and pony shows other than Google I/O, which makes sense. But yeah, but this is going to be their big consumer push. I mean, going into the holidays, so we're getting a lot of stuff dumped on us. I'll be very surprised if there is a Daydream headset though, just because I feel like the days of Daydream are so early. In fact, you know, very few phones can support it. We haven't seen any real development unless they have some big partnership they're announcing. I'd be surprised if that actually happens.
Do you ever buy clothes from the search results? I buy a lot of things from the search results. Google now wants you to buy clothes. This is an initiative they call Shop the Look. It's an advertising program. You search for specific outfits. You'll get photos and purchase links in the results page.
I am so excited about this.
Really?
Wow. Well, I already shop from Google. Remember, I've been so excited about my Google Now show me what's going on. And I'm a huge Fashion Week kind of consumer, just of like what new clothes are out. So I would totally buy pretty stuff from.
I find this is that this is the most effective kind of advertising for me. Buy it right there. If something catches my eye, this Instagram works. I've bought stuff from Instagram ads because you're going through your feed and you see a cool picture and it's not so hard just to click it and buy it. Facebook, I guess, and this is even more immediate, right? Search for something, buy it.
This is what made Amazon billions, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't that just that one button, that one click purchase, which they fought so hard to protect in the courts. But it's preying on our impulse, and then you know the click of the mouse is faster than our regret. So it's, it's neat. I don't know about shopping clothes, but that's just me because I hate shopping for clothes.
What is the speed of regret? Is that close to the speed of light, or
it's just slower than clicking your mouse? That's what it is.
Just like slightly behind the speed of click.
With them announcing this, this kind of relates to Pinterest hiring, is it Lee Fan?
Oh yeah, Lee Fan went over there. Yeah.
As the new head of engineering, and she was head of image search at Google. If you look at Pinterest business model, which is basically buying on pictures, right? That becomes a really interesting hire kind of related to this.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. Image recognition. Well, what is Pinterest full of? Pictures of stuff.
And that's always been the promise of Pinterest, was that you can, you know, that you would have all these things on your boards and you just click on them, you can buy them from there. And
it was really also, it was always the disappointment of Pinterest for me is I couldn't do that.
Exactly.
It's like, I want to buy that. They're moving very much in that direction. That's an obvious thing. Well, while Apple was having its event, so was Sony. Poor Sony. We won't even mention that Dell also had an event. Just got to avoid those Apple event days. That's you don't want to be making news on those days. Or conversely, if you've got an embarrassing announcement, like say an exploding phone, do that on the days Apple announces its phone. That's when you can bury stories. We'll talk about what Sony announced in just a second. Stacey Higginbotham is here from Stacey on IoT, the great podcast you do with Kevin Toefel, talking about IoT. What are you talking about these days? Did you just do one this morning, or are you about to do one later today?
No, we do it in the morning, and it comes out tomorrow. So we talked about Kevin reviewed the Wink Relay, and then we also talked about rumors of a new Wink Hub, second gen Wink Hub. So it's exciting.
Wink. Who's Wink?
Wink is the company that was bought by Flex. They used to be part of Quirky, their Home Depot.
Quirky, that's right. They were a Quirky product. Okay, I knew it. All right, Wink. Does he like them?
He loves them. I love it. It's my favorite smart home hub.
Oh, really?
Actually, people always ask me this. They're like, Stacey, what's your favorite smart home hub? The Wink.
Are you a Wink Wonk?
I'm a Wink Wonk over Smart Things, because Smart Things isn't as reliable. So if you're out there choosing your hub.
What protocol does Wink use?
It actually speaks a bunch of different radios. So
it's not just Zigbee or...
It's Zigbee, Z-Wave, Lutron, Kitties.
Oh, that's what you
proprietary
want.
Proprietary stuff.
I guess that's what the Smart Things did too. The whole idea of it was it integrated all of these protocols.
And Smart Things doesn't have the Lutron, and it doesn't have Kitty. It has Zigbee, Z-Wave, Bluetooth, and Wi-Fi.
So you could get a Wink instead of getting the Philips Hue Hub, for instance, and use that instead?
No.
It talks to the hub.
So that because of the type of integration they have with Philips, it talks to the hub. It actually talks to the cloud. I think
the next hub.
It talks to the cloud. The Philips
talk
Hue
to the
is
cloud.
Really
the cloud exactly. will talk to the hub.
Yes, it's a bit latent, but the next gen is supposed to have more power. So
they used to call me latent.
Did they?
Yeah.
What about jittery?
Yeah, depends on the amount of coffee. Latent and jittery. Interesting. All right, Wink. All right, so we'll listen to the IoT podcast when it comes out tomorrow at stacyonIoT.com or IoTpodcast.com. Also with us, Ron Richards. You moved to New York. Why? Just for fun? Oh, he's muted. He's muted. Ron, you're muted. Unmute yourself. I can't hear a word you're saying.
Sorry about that. There
we go.
There
we go.
I was protecting from a dog who just woke up.
Oh, I thought that was Stacy's dog.
That's his dog. That's right.
Yeah. No, the dog is not used to me being online at this time, so I'm
so
messing
funny.
Up her schedule.
It's dinner time. Yeah, it's dinner time. The dog's hungry.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons why I moved back to New York. Family and stuff like that. So
that's nice.
The magnetic pull back to the East Coast from my home. So.
Well, we love having you, and anytime you're out here, we got to get you on the air. Actually, you don't have to be, thanks to Skype. But
I'm going to be there. We talked about earlier. We're going to be there Saturday. Yeah.
The new screensavers. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, aptly named Rocket Mortgage, like a rocket. It's fast. It's powerful. Maybe unlike a rocket, it's completely online. It comes to you from Quicken Loans. They're the premier name in home loans. So when it's time to refi or time to borrow to buy a new house, I want you to visit Rocket Mortgage. They have taken all the complicated, time-consuming bits out of applying for a mortgage. Just they're gone. If you hate searching through stacks of old files and paperwork, if you hate the idea of bringing a banker's box full of stuff to your mortgage broker, you will love Rocket Mortgage. With Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and your pay stubs at the touch of a button. You can get approved in minutes for a custom solution that's tailored specifically for your unique financial situation. And best of all, you don't even have to do it on a computer. You can do it on a phone or a tablet. You don't have to get up from the couch. If it's time to buy, if it's time to refi, visit Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/twig. That's quickenloans.com/twig. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. It's the fastest way to get qualified or pre-qualified to borrow or to refi. quickenloans.com/twig. And we thank them so much for their support of This Week in Google. So I do not have a PlayStation 4. I'm one of the few people. I made the wrong bet 2 years ago, and I bought an Xbox One.
You got X-boned?
I get X-boned. Everybody else bought a PlayStation 4, and now they're playing No Man's Sky, and I'm still on Gears of War. No, I like the Xbox One, and I really was hopeful because it was a. I thought it was going to be Microsoft's media center play. It hasn't really turned out to be. And now I want a PlayStation 4 because I want to do the PlayStation VR. I've played with it, and I was really impressed. Sony had an event. It started at noon, which was technically right after Apple's event, but I imagine even the news coverage will be a little limited. They announced two new Xbox. I'm sorry, and only in my dreams. Two new PlayStation 4s, a slimmed down PlayStation 4 that will be available very soon, September 15th. At $299, but it's essentially the same as the existing PS4, just a little bit smaller and like a redesigned light bar and things like that. And then coming November 10th, what was called or codenamed the Neo, a PlayStation Pro, which is in fact improved, $399, support for 4K, faster processor, better graphics. This is not a new generation. This is just, you know, kind of a slipstream upgrade for the PlayStation 4. Upgraded GPU and a terabyte hard drive, but an upgraded price to $399.
So they went from having one console to having three.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
Or two. The slimmer, cheaper PlayStation 4 is just, it just replaces the original model, and then this is for the hardcore gamers.
Right.
Yeah, so
well, and I want it because I'm very interested in the PlayStation VR. Yeah. Now, I don't know if that will come out at the same time. It should because I know they wanted to get it by the end of the year. So I'm thinking this Neo, this PlayStation Pro, will also be offered in a VR bundle at another price, probably a couple hundred bucks more. Right. And they're also adding HDR in software to every PlayStation 4. So that's for gaming and I guess streaming video playback.
Not Blu-rays though.
Not Blu-rays. The new Xbox supports the UHD HDR Blu-rays and I've been watching them on my new Xbox. I really, really like them. You have to have a TV that supports it.
I really wonder. I mean, I think it's interesting that the PlayStation Pro won't play 4K Blu-rays after Sony helped usher in the era of
Blu-ray
with the PlayStation. So that really makes me wonder, is Sony betting on the fact that we're going to consume all of our content streaming and not via discs anymore?
No more physical media. It feels even a little retro today when I go to Amazon and I buy, you know, The Martian on a disc. And I have to wait for a truck to bring it to my house to watch it. But it is the highest quality. I mean, if you want, you know, UHD, HDR, play it back on one of those new players or on your Xbox One S. And I have to say it looks really, really good. It really does.
There's a danger in going all streaming in that, you know, the quality is better on the disc, like you mentioned, but also there's availability. I found out, much to my dismay, a couple of weeks ago that the only way I can watch the movie The Commitments, remember that movie?
Yeah, great movie. Yeah.
It's not streaming anywhere.
Danny Boyle, right?
It's 1990. I forget who directed it.
But he did Trainspotting,
Yeah, but
I confuse the two because I can't understand anything anybody's saying in both of those.
Irish, Scottish, same thing. But that movie is not available. That movie is not available streaming, and in fact, it's not even in print on discs that you have to buy a used DVD if you want to watch that.
Here's a tip from Stacey.
No, if you check back, sometimes things that are not available become available over streaming as like the licensing rights change.
Yeah.
Right. So if you don't need it right away.
Yeah.
It's not unusual, though, and I don't understand. I even complained to a friend of mine. I was trying to watch his movies, and none of them were on. You had to buy them. You couldn't even rent them anywhere.
I know. Why is that the case?
Well, and I said, you know, you really ought to talk to your. But it's not up to him. It's up to his film company, right? The producers and
The owners of.
They're so nervous. They are just so nervous about piracy. I think.
I will give and Stacey, you're totally right. Now it's back available. That's crazy.
A tip from Stacey.
So I was gonna give a shout out. Maybe it's for later in the show for picks or whatnot. But the website justwatch.com is a great aggregator where you type in any movie and it tells you, you know, you tell it what country you're in, and you type in any movie or TV show, and then it tells you where it's available for either renting or buying, and what the prices are.
You can
filter by SD or HD or anything like that. And sure enough, now it's back available on Amazon, Apple, and Google Play. So
I've been using canistream.it.
Yep.
Can I stream it? But this is interesting. And this is the same idea, it looks like. And
it's
a shame that we actually have to go through this, right?
Agreed.
I mean, you can't even figure out, well, where, at least on the Apple TV or one of the or the Android Shield where you can talk to it, you should be able to say, can I stream this and where?
Right.
But no, they're not that good.
Can the Echo do that?
No, but it should. somebody build an Echo.
That would be
Echo
a skill. We need a Just Watch skill for the Echo.
Now, I will also say, because I'm a big fan of this, because I have a kid, I go to the library all the time. Our library has wonderful videos.
Yeah.
So whenever I can't find something
on... I always forget that.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
So.
And they're free.
Support your local library, kids. If you don't go there, nobody will eventually. I'm sorry, I'm being distracted by Just Watch now. There's all the movies I want to see.
It's a cool site. It's a cool site. They've got an app, too, which is handy when you're you know, out somewhere and you have an argument over whether or not something's available, which, believe it or not, I have had. It saves the day. So, and then they've got a lot, like, pretty, look at that. All of those outlets, you know, whether not just Netflix and
Stars
Google and Amazon. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Everything.
Epics and Showtime.
Yeah. Patti Smith, Dream of Life. Look at that.
Stars and HBO... To go, HBO on the go, something about HBO Go. HBO Go. They have free trials for a while. So if you see something really exciting,
right,
you know, you can just check it out.
All right. Wow. I'm learning so much on this. Project Ara. Every once in a while I get something right. From day one, people were so excited about this modular phone system. And I said, that is just janky. Nobody's going to want this. It's going to be loose. Pieces are going to fall off your phone. You're going to really... And people were so excited about this. Well, now Google says, yeah, maybe not. They're going to license it, but they are not going to make Project Ara modular phones. This was something they kept when they sold Motorola to Lenovo. This was part of Motorola's kind of research projects, and they've suspended it at this point. They didn't say why. Maybe because they figured out nobody wanted janky phones to fall apart. I don't know.
I am
maybe
so
Rick
upset
Osterloh
by this
one. Sorry.
This could be something Rick did because Rick.
This is all Rick. This is under the reorganization under Osterloh.
And Rick would know because he was at Motorola when Project Ara was one of their research projects.
Yep.
Why do you think he killed? Why are you upset? First of all, Ron.
Because I loved this concept. Because I think that every phone out there, we've reached, you know,
peak phone.
Yeah, we reach peak phone. It's just completely homogeny, and there's no real innovation going on the hardware side. And the also thing is that no one person has the same requirements for a phone as the next person. We all want something different. I want more battery. You want a better camera. You know, there are all these different kind of variables. So the idea of making your own phone with these dinky little Lego pieces to me sounded amazing. And the idea that you could have third parties building speaker accessories and projectors and batteries and all these other things, and you can make the phone of your dreams, I found that to be really, really cool. Now, I don't think it's the kind of thing that millions of people are going to get and it would be mainstream, but having that as an option is something that I was really interested in. And I'm really disappointed that I will never get to snap on a bigger battery or a better camera or a flash. So I don't know. It's a bummer.
But it sounds good in principle, but I just feel like it's going to be a little rattly. You know, it's just going to feel like a Lego phone.
Well, and that's the thing. And look how well Lego did. Everybody thought Lego was crazy all those years ago.
Well, why did they give up then? What's wrong? I mean, there must have been.
I think it's got to be something about taking a product from concept to shippable. And while the idea of snapping on all these things and doing hot swapping and stuff like that is great, there has to be a flaw somewhere in battery life and maintenance or in processor, you know, management, in that it actually wasn't a phone that they could ship because people would complain about one of those two problems.
Yeah.
That's my guess. So,
4 years in prison for Guccifer. I didn't know they caught Guccifer. It turns out he's a 44-year-old Romanian, Marcel Lehel Lazar. He hacked George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush. I thought, actually, he was a kind of a cover for Russian state hackers. He was the one who uncovered Hillary Clinton's private email server. He also hacked Colin Powell, Robert Redford, Steve Martin, Nicole Kidman, and he always took credit for it. But now he's been arrested and sentenced 52 months in prison, 52 months in jail. However, now there's Guccifer 2.0, and Guccifer 2.0 apparently is not Lazar, but some other group, and they hacked the Democratic National Committee and leaked those documents to WikiLeaks. So maybe Guccifer lives on, even though he will live the next 52 months in, is it a Romanian prison or a U.S. prison?
Ooh.
He was extradited to the U.S., so it's a U.S. prison.
Yes. Yeah. I think, and that's if Guccifer is indeed just that one person, or if there
it's
were
like anonymous, probably,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
there's,
exactly.
Yeah.
I just want to know the political ones I get, but what's the motivation for hacking Robert Redford?
Everybody loves Robert Redford,
right? I mean, like,
and even if he had nude photos, I don't know if there's a market for that.
He's like 80 now, right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's just mean.
Maybe he has really great emails, though. Think about the gossip.
Oh, the gossip. Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, wait a minute. I know why. Because he was in sneakers.
That's it. Hack the faux hacker.
There it is.
Yeah. That's what it is. The faux hacker. Self-driving Ubers in San Francisco. Maybe you can try these for us, Ron, and report back. Uber has declined comment. But look at this car. This is the Batmobile, baby. I think that almost is a joke. It looks like it's got so many cameras. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, plus LiDAR. I'm just counting.
Why does it have Pennsylvania plates? Oh, because they were doing the they're doing the test in Pittsburgh, too. That makes sense.
It's in Pittsburgh, and now it's in San Francisco. I get it. Here's, this is the one that was captured 4 days ago. I swear to God. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Is Leslie Jones driving? I figure this is the new Ghostbusters mobile. That is ridiculous.
That's awesome. I would try it in a second.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that
somebody behind the wheel, because these aren't stage four autonomous. This is, you know.
I think it's amazing that Uber's beating Google to the punch with this.
Well, are they? Are they really?
Yeah, no. I mean, they're all trying these out. Yeah. I mean, Baidu has a license in California to test autonomous vehicles.
You do have to get a permit, right? You can't.
Yes.
You can't just go out in the road and do it.
You can't just bring out
Although George Hotz might just go, I'm just going to do this. I can't. Yeah. I imagine there were some self-driving vehicles on the playa this week at the Burning Man. Just see.
Oh, they got their vandals attacked.
The hooligans? The hooligans.
Yes.
I have to admit, I was kind of rooting for the hooligans. Now, I feel bad if anybody I know is one of those fancy campers. I guess this was a camp created by DJs. It was like an EDM camp that was very nice. And they did concerts and stuff. But they were kind of the others at Burning Man. I don't know anything about the ethics or the culture of Burning Man, but apparently others at Burning Man didn't like these guys because they didn't share. It wasn't an open camp.
It is a communal culture.
Yeah. No chapstick for you. And so they ransacked the place. But, by the way, when crimes occur at Burning Man, Burning Man does not hesitate to go to the local authorities. So police can be involved at this point.
They're real happy to reconnect with the world when they need to.
Suddenly, hey, get some police in here. Yeah. T-Mobile says to Verizon, our LTE is more advanced than your... Oh, screw it. I can't bring up the energy to even... See, how about this one? Snapchat ad revenues. Here's a prediction. Prediction by analysts at eMarketer. They're predicting Snapchat ad revenues, which are currently $366 million, will grow to nearly $1 billion next year. Wow. And that's, in fact, what Snapchat's own presentation deck predicts.
I got to give it, with the Apple event, more people were Snapchatting than
really?
They were tweeting. So
interesting. That's the place to watch it now, huh?
Well, which is funny, because I've also seen more, you know, movement from Twitter to Snapchat, but with the recent Instagram Snapchat ripoff, the Instagram moments or whatever they are, I've seen a lot of my feed move from Snapchat to being more active on Instagram because there's more
interaction.
That's
just because you know old people.
Yeah, possibly. But I will say that Snapchat has impressed me by the hyper-targeting, by media partnerships. And then, I don't know if you saw, I think it was last week, there's an article in Variety about that Seth Rogen animated movie Sausage Party
Sausage Fest? Sausage Party?
Sausage Party, it's called, yeah. And it's an R-rated
it's
animated
It's an R-rated
movie.
Cartoon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And 50% of their marketing budget was spent on digital, including Snapchat.
Well, if you're going to make a movie like Sausage Party.
Yep. I subscribe to Common Sense Media, which tells you what things you should let your kids watch and what you shouldn't.
Not Sausage Party.
They actually issued a warning. Just because this is animated doesn't mean it's for kids. I was like, awesome.
Well, but it's rated R. I mean, like.
I know. I that's what I thought was hilarious. And it's called Sausage Party. And if you look at the animation.
It's just a bunch of dancing penises. Is that what you're saying?
I would never say that.
Here's the New York Times review. The first word uttered in Sausage Party is a popular synonym for excrement, which is a bit counterintuitive in a movie about food. You would expect that to come to the end, at the end. Oh, boy.
So they had fun, too. Well, if you want to hit some more tech news, and you may not.
No, I do. Please, I beg of you.
Intel bought a computer vision company this week.
They just irped McAfee out, so maybe they're taking the McAfee money and buying a computer vision company.
Well, I think McAfee probably made them more money. yes, Movidius. They're the computer vision chip inside Project Tango. They also are working with a lot of drone people, manufacturers, to... basically process, I mean, it's computer vision. So it's basically helping computers in a low power format understand what they're seeing. So really cool buy for Intel. It shows a couple things. One, Intel's not going to get behind, hopefully, on AI. Two, it's embracing heterogeneous architectures. So things that are not x86, which we have seen with manufacturing ARM and with buying Nervana Systems, which is using a GPU for machine learning. And this is all very nerdy, but it's all very exciting because it means Intel might continue to be a good bet.
Movidius, more problems?
No. Movidius, less problems. Fewer problems, actually.
Thank you for the correct grammar.
There, I tried.
I thought you were going to talk about Intel selling off McAfee. It bought McAfee 6 years ago for $7.7 billion, changed the name to Intel Security. Didn't go anywhere. They're selling it now, not entirely, but a massive stake in it for $4.2 billion, including debt. So they're basically writing off billions of dollars on this one. And the name goes back to McAfee, which is, after all, synonymous with security. Oh, Lord.
Yes. And craziness.
Google.
Did you see, I guess it was Samantha Bee's Full Frontal did a thing on the Libertarian convention a while back, and
he's a candidate there. Or he was a candidate.
He was a candidate.
Until Gary Johnson got the nomination. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Well, this is the year of interesting candidates is all I'm going to say. Let's take a break and come back with your picks of the week, because we want to wrap this up in time for TNT. Stacey Higginbotham from the IoT Podcast, iotpodcast.com, at GigaStacey on Twitter. And Ron Richards, Ron Exo on Twitter. And, of course, a regular on All About Android, joining us this Saturday for the new Screensavers. Our show today brought to you by Wealthfront. If you're investing for the long term, you know how challenging it could be. Investing doesn't mean putting it in a savings account, because that's basically, at best, no growth. And in many cases, because of the cost of living, not going up, but going up higher than the interest rate on your what is the savings account interest rate? It's like 0.25% or something now. It's terrible. You got to invest. You got to find, you know, some vehicles to make some money on. In most cases, That's the stock market. But are you going to manage that investment? Or worse, you're going to pay somebody 1, 2, or 3% of what you're investing just to keep an eye on things for you? No. Here's what you do. You go to Wealthfront. Wealthfront is computerized investing. It keeps an eye on your investment. It redistributes. It rebalances. It does tax loss harvesting, maximizes your returns while minimizing your tax bill. And it does it at a very affordable 0.25% a year, 25 basis points. That's a heck of a lot less than that human down the street will do. And they do a better job because they're monitoring you constantly using the best modern portfolio theory and Nobel Prize winning economic theory to do the best job. These are the advisors. I mean, the best people like Burton Malkiel, Charles D. Ellis, over 200 years of Wall Street experience on their advisory board. These are the people who help them design the algorithm that makes sure your money is maximizing its value for you, working for you. They just introduced a 529 college savings plan. So if you're saving for higher education expenses for your kids or your grandkids, Wealthfront's a great way to do it. You can get started for as little as $500. And I love this, your first $15,000. First $15,000, not 0.25%, but zero. Zero for life. They'll manage it for free. That even if you just do that, that's such a great way to start. Wealthfront.com/twig. It solves the age-old problem. You need to save for a rainy day, for college, for retirement. But how do you do it and maximize your results? This is the modern way to do it. Wealthfront.com/twig. Go and read all about it. I think you'll agree. It's just fabulous. Wealthfront.com/twig. Your first $15,000 fee free. Last week we said, Stacey, you should do a what was it, a recipe of the week? Or
you did. So,
but not a cooking recipe.
Not a cooking. Well, I had a thing for this week, so I wanted to ask you, should I do a thing?
Do a thing, and you could do it if this and then another time or this time. You know what? Anything you want to do. This is your show.
I have both, so
all right.
This is my show, really.
It's your show now.
All right, so this is what my thing of the week is, if I can get it out, because this is my daughter's thing. This is the drop kitchen scale, because last week you were talking and complaining about, what were you complaining about? Oh, when you're making something and your proportions get all wrong or you don't have enough of one thing.
Yeah.
You can't redo it. So what this is a $99 connected kitchen scale. It only works with iOS. So this is okay. A terrible thing to bring on this week in Google.
No. I have an iPhone. Yeah.
Oh, I lost my iPad. So what it is, there's nothing on the scale except for this button right here. You open up the app, and what it does is when you put things on it, it gives you a recipe. So if you can actually show them a recipe, that would probably be the best thing. All the recipes are modular.
Okay.
And when you start up the recipe, it's like, okay, preheat your oven, and here are your steps.
You pick a recipe. Ingredients. There's mini chocolate. Oh, all right. You can do the other
lemon
one.
Lemon sorbet.
Okay.
That's easy.
Okay.
When you start the process, it gives you the ingredients in a very step-by-step path. So you're like, place a clean saucepan on drop. Put the following 6 ingredients in. And then as you press one, you can either do it on the iPad or you do it on the scales if your hands are dirty. So this is cool because if you don't have, in the lemon sorbet example, if you don't have enough lemon juice, you just say, I only have 2 tablespoons instead of 4. How do I adjust my recipe?
Yes.
It gets more interesting when you're have 1 egg.
Yes.
So this is really fun. The cool thing is at IFA, they announced that they are working actually on a kitchen OS, and the recipes are the key of all of these things. So you can put your own recipes in, and eventually the drop stuff will work with other connected kitchen appliances. So they have a deal with Bosch. So now when the recipe says preheat your oven to 450, it'll actually just send the instructions right to your oven. If it works, if it's integrated with Drop. So I think that's really neat. I'm excited about the kitchen. This is a great present for people who are learning to cook because the recipes are super, like my 8-year-old at the time loved it. She actually demanded this for Christmas, 2 years in a row, and finally we gave it to her. So that is my device of the week. And if you want a recipe, I can throw that out too. Not a kitchen recipe.
And if this, then that style recipe?
It is.
Let's hear it.
All right. So here's a fun one. It's really easy, but useful. If you have an Echo and you have Hue lights or Lifex lights, because those will also work, you do a recipe that says, if my timer goes off on my Echo, blink my lights. So that way, if you don't hear your timer, your lights go off and you're like, doop, doop, oh, my timer's up. If that makes sense. It's a good recipe.
Wow.
We use it.
Wow. Cool.
So, I'm like, I'll send you a link to the recipe.
Yeah. How do you, can you, you can share recipes, right?
You can
just tweet it. Tweet it on your Giga Stacey.
Okay.
If you want.
Oh. Yeah. Let me. Yeah.
You don't have to do it right now.
So
you can do it later.
Do it.
Yeah. Do it later. I got a crazy one for you. That's I just read an article about this. It's a Twitter. So we all know about Prisma, you know, the great. And by the way, if you don't have it yet, you should get it. It's an Android app as well as an iOS app. It does neural networks, applies them to your photos, does really great stuff. I mean, I'm really happy with some of the images. I'll show you an image I just did on my iPhone. You know what? Let's show you how I do it on Kandinsky. I mean, Neural Painter. So Neural Painter is a Twitter bot that does the same thing. You tweet to @NeuralPainter, and you can use one of their filters, Brutal, Candy, Castle, Ceremony, EDTAONISL, I don't know what that is, Kanagawa, Hokusai, Kandinsky, Selfie, Starry Night. So I created, let's just tweet to it an image, a picture of me, and then you do the hashtag, I'll do Kandinsky. Actually, let's do a different one. Let's do Brutal. I don't know what that'll do. And I'll show you what happens, because I pre-tweeted this just like a cooking show. This is the tweet back to me of that picture from Kandinsky. Isn't that cool? Here's one. I tweeted a picture of a boat and just used the default random tweet. And in a little bit, I'm sure I will get a tweet back from Neural Painter of whatever Brutal does to that picture. It's kind of fun, and you can actually watch its feed to see what it's doing with other people's images as well. Just an interesting bot created by Hey Neural. It'll also convert videos and GIFs, animated GIFs, as well as images into an interesting form of art. And it's free. Let's see if I got one back with Brutal. Yeah, here's my Brutal. Ooh, that is Brutal. I just love the idea anyway. Neural Painter free. It's a Twitter tool and another way to fill your feed with nonsense. Mr. Ron Richards, what do you got for us? He's muted again. Is the dog bark? Who let the Richards dog out?
Sorry about that. The air conditioning kicked in. It's still hot in New York. So I was wrestling with what to bring to you today. I already mentioned Just Watch, which is fantastic. JustWatch.tv.
I love
but
that.
I think considering that I'm on All About Android, we were talking about the new Nexus phones, I got to recommend my daily driver, the phone that I've been using. And Leo, you know, it's the Nexbit Robin. But for a important reason, that they've dropped the price now to $299, and they have a very good-looking red version of the phone. Actually, they call it Ember, and it's a red and black Ooh. Color combination. And I know earlier when I was talking about Project Aura, I was saying that my big frustration with the phones is that there are, you know, there's two. They all look the same. They're all, you know, they're all doing the same thing. Nexbit is a company that is actually trying to do something different, and I really like that. And I really want to support them. So check out the Nexbit Robin for just $299. Now you get a really, really solid phone, and you can get a really sexy red one too if you want it.
Well, and that's proof in the pudding that you have had this now for months and still using it.
Yep.
Means you really like it. Do you use the thing that that made them famous, the idea that you don't have a lot of storage on the phone, you have 32 gigs, but it will move stuff off the phone that you don't use it? Do you find that useful?
What's funny is that I don't, because I had been operating for so long on a Nexus 5 with 16 gigs that I run a really lean phone.
Yeah.
So I actually haven't hit 32 gig yet on the phone, but I keep trying to download music and trying to put stuff on there to fill it up, but I haven't actually got to the point. They finally did back up four apps that were apps that I actually showcased and all about Android and then never used after showcasing them, just didn't delete them. And then I saw that they recently, the icons grayed out, and that actually reminded me that they were even on my phone.
Cool.
But it's just starting to do that. So I imagine I'll get into it a little more. But I just signed up and joined their beta tester program for their upcoming OS Nougat to bring Android.
That was my next question. So they're going to be Nougat soon?
So what they're saying by the end of Q4, and that's they're good. Saying they're adding their own little bit of Nexbit flavor to it, and they're going to revitalize your battery life. And I'm very curious to see what that means.
So how is the battery life? I thought it was pretty
battery
good.
Battery life is all right. It's not great. I mean, it gets me through a day. I can get I can pretty much leave the house, go work a full day, and come home like around 5 or 6 and have to plug it in, which is to be expected. It's really bad when I'm at an event and I'm doing something and I'm using a lot of data, but that's to be expected. But apparently there's something in Android N that combined with their engineering mastery, they're going to make that battery be that much better. So we'll see.
Be very interesting.
Yeah, but that Ember phone is it's beautiful.
It's
look
pretty,
at that.
Isn't
that's
it?
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's very pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and it's $299 now. They dropped it $100. So.
It was more. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was $399.
Okay.
It launched at $399. Now they dropped it to $299.
Oh, I'm glad they're doing well. I really like them a lot, and I wanted the best for them. So that's good.
Yeah. Innovation is good in hardware
and competition.
Yes.
Ron Richards, you see him all the time on All About Android. You'll see him Saturday on the new Screensavers. You can find out more about.me/RonXO. He's also on Twitter @RonXO. And it's always a pleasure having you here. Thank you, Ron.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
It's the blue hour in Manhattan.
It's starting to get magic hours.
Magic hour is happening. Thanks, Stacey Higginbotham. She's always wonderful on this show, and we're thrilled to have you on a regular basis. IoTpodcast.com. The new one comes out tomorrow with Kevin Toefel and @GigaStacy on Twitter for that recipe she mentioned. Thank you so much.
No problem. I sent it out, you guys.
The word of the week, courage. All right. We'll see. Thanks for joining us this week on This Week in Google. We do the show every Wednesday afternoon, 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, 20:30 UTC. I presume Jeff will be back next week. I hope he will. I know Stacey will, and I hope you will, too. Yeah. If you can't watch live... Oh, you're not going to be here next week?
Mm-mm. Sorry, I'm in London.
Oh, well, that's all right. That's okay. After that, I'll be in Paris, so there.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Well, we'll work it out. We'll find another wonderful person. Maybe we can get Gina on just for next week. Gina Trapani on, just to see
We her. Can't be in the same show at the same time.
No, that would be a collision of minds.
Too much awesome.
Too much awesome in one room. My brain would explode. If you can't be here in person, of course, you can always listen after the fact. twit.tv/twig or wherever finer podcasts are aggregated and kept online for your download pleasure, including our own Twit apps on many platforms written by our fans, not by us. But thank you, fans, for doing that. And thank you for being here. I'll see you next time on Twig. Bye-bye.